In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The story described here in our text is very clear. The tribe of Israel makes the final preparation to cross the River Jordan into the new land of Canaan. It is the promised land for which they had endured in numerous hardships during their journey through the desert of Sinai. And now the moment has arrived for them to cross this river and enter the promised land. And God now gives them the final instructions. The Ark of the Covenant will be carried by a number of priests into the River Jordan, and the people of Israel will follow at a distance of about 1,000 yards to indicate their reverence for the Ark, which represents God's presence. As soon as the Levite priests enter the River Jordan, the water, being at its highest at that time of the season, parts, and the Israelites can now pass through. Kind of a miniature version of the crossing of the Dead Sea when they fled the bondage of slavery from Egypt. But how should these Israelites know that they are doing the right thing of crossing the River Jordan and of entering a land now that was still totally strange to them? The point of our story here is this. God, as the Ark of the Covenant shows, is with them. His presence gives the Israelites the comforting assurance that they are doing the right thing. This God, who is going to take them across, is not just one mere deity like the Canaan gods, but actually he is the God, the Lord over creation, who can stop the flow of the waters and bring the Israelites safely across the River Jordan to its other shore. And all those Israelites who might still entertain a few doubts as to whether they're doing the right thing and are legitimate claimers of the new land of Canaan, will now, at the latest, know that God, the highest and the only God, is going to lead them there. They are crossing the river to the land God has promised them many times over, again and again, and now actually he is fulfilling his promises and taking them there. Crossing the Jordan is crossing the waters into a promised land full of milk and honey, and it must be the right thing that they are doing because they are the nation of God and the people of God are the legitimate inheritors of this land. But what meaning does this story have for us Christians, for our Christian faith? After all, the River Jordan is not anywhere near Fort Wayne, nor are we here in the year, we are here now in the year 2002. Over history, the theme of crossing the River Jordan has evoked many images. In German vernacular, for example, one would often use the phrase, "he crossed the Jordan," as a euphemism to indicate that a person has died. One would, for example, say, "Oh my, isn't it sad? While working on the electric power lines, Herr Schmidt got a shock. He crossed the Jordan." Not far removed from this is also the Christian association with the crossing of the Jordan. It symbolizes our passing, our death, and our entry into the kingdom of heaven. The promised land of the Israelites, Canaan, is our heavenly kingdom. The light of Epiphany, Jesus Christ, is waiting on the other side to welcome us into the promised land of salvation, that is heaven. And what comes immediately to my mind is actually the spiritual "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot," because in its first stanza there, we read, "I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home." And a particular Lutheran spin on this episode is not simply to indicate our death and our passing to heaven in some future time. But it is actually the crossing of the Jordan that evokes for us the journey that we have already undertaken, namely a crossing from death to life at our baptism, as our hymn today has shown. Already then, we went through the baptismal water to attain what it will take to get to this promised land. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is eternal life and salvation, already here and now. In his baptismal prayer, in his booklet on baptism, Luther makes this reference to the great flood, to the crossing of the Jordan, to the Dead Sea, and he mentions all other waters which serve as a symbolic event. They prefigure our own salutary washing from all the sins at baptism. That through this salutary flood, he says, on that baptismal candidate, that he may drown and go under everything on him that is his original guilt and all the sins that have been added to him since his birth. The crossing of the Jordan is thus a reminder for all of us here that we have already received and attained the fullness that is still to come in a time after our death. At baptism already, we have crossed the threshold from eternal damnation to the kingdom of God. There God gave us the visible assurance, as he once did to the Israelites. He is with us, he leads us, and he brings us to the promised land. And are we the rightful inheritors of this gift? Yes, in Jesus Christ we are. He is and remains our assurance that we are the legitimate heirs to God's promises. He proved this by entering the Jordan himself to be baptized, and then at the cross, and it became a reality for us when water was actually poured over us. We, including myself, have this common but incorrect habit of referring to this great crossing in the past tense. I was baptized. It would be far better to say, I am baptized. All those of you who have been married will probably do it correctly. In front of your wife, you would not dare to say, I was married. No, rather, I am married. How much more would this also apply to the fact of our baptism? Jesus Christ is our light and our salvation, then and today as well. The ark of baptism is our constant reminder that God is with us. Within our circles, the references to baptism might come across as rather trite. But as we cross the rivers and the torrents and other obstacles that this world will put before us, the certainty and the assurance that we have been made the rightful and the legal inheritors of this heaven at such an event will become a very important and crucial matter. The Israelites needed constant reminders that God was on their side, and so do we. Having been clothed with Jesus Christ is therefore not trite, but it is a matter of life and death. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.